All right, you turn me back on. Outstanding. Good morning, everybody. How are we this beautiful day? First snow is out of the way. That's done. Everybody made it. I'm proud of you. Thank you very much. That's great. Let's see here. Today, this is the first day of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent. Kind of a big deal. Right now, we have Christmas decorations all out. Some of them aren't on this morning. But they're all out and stuff, but yet we all know that, is it Christmas yet? No, but it does give us something to anticipate, something to look forward to, right? I mean, you know, when we were children, the anticipation of Christmas was a little bit more selfish, but nevertheless, our anticipation for Christmas can be just as intense because we are waiting to celebrate the amazing coming of God made flesh, who lives among us, who comes to this world to redeem us, to save us. But for now, we're not celebrating that yet. We are instead preparing for the coming, getting our hearts and our minds ready for the coming of God. In the New Testament, before Jesus came, there was the one, the forerunner, the one who came before Jesus to prepare the way for him, and that his name was John. Excellent. John the Baptist, and he was the one that came calling the people to repentance, helping them to see their sin and the need for the Savior who was about to come, and that was his job. So that's what we're going to be focusing on right now, too, as we begin this year. So let us remember, let us come into our Father's presence, remembering the coming of the one and the redemption that he earned for us and the baptism that brings us into his family. Let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for another day, the beautiful weather, the snow that is making the world beautiful this morning. Lord, I pray that you would continue to also be here for us, Lord. We come full of need, full of doubt, full of sin, full of guilt, full of all of these things, Lord, and you are the answer to our problems. You are the one who fulfills our needs of body, Lord, but especially our needs of forgiveness and salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit into us today. Lord, help us to better understand and to receive this amazing gift of salvation that you have worked for us. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, we come into our God's presence this morning sinful, and we know that that is the case. We have fallen short of his glory, and we have now an opportunity to lay those sins at his feet and receive forgiveness. So let us do this. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sin. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now return praise and thanksgiving to this God who has lived and died for us.
Thank you. Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke 21, verse 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, here we go. Sermon scripture reading for today, otherwise known as the text, is going to be 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 to 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is God's word for us today.
Good morning. This morning we're going to talk about waiting. What is something that we wait for? What's something that you wait for?
What? I wait for cookies.
Wait for cookies while they're baking? That's a good one. Anything else? What do we wait for?
Wait for like a present.
Wait for like a present. Is it hard to wait for a present? Yeah. Today we're going to talk about waiting. So Amanda's going to show some pictures. So her first picture, what do you think they're waiting for? You see it? So the one child is probably waiting his turn for a toy. Is it hard to wait for your turn for a toy or your turn playing a game? It's hard to wait. This next one. The next one. Sideways. What do you think they're waiting for here?
Line.
They're waiting in a line to go down the slide. It's hard to wait our turn, isn't it? This next one. What do you think they're waiting for here? Maybe when you go to the doctor's office or the dentist, are you waiting in the waiting room, waiting for your turn? They're going to come out and call your name. That one's probably an easy one to wait for because you don't want to go to the doctor or the dentist, right? Next one. What about here? What are they waiting for here? So over here. What do you think? Food. Usually if you go out to a restaurant, you have to wait in line to get to a table. Then you have to wait for your food to come. That's probably a hard one to wait for, too, waiting for food. Next one. What about this one? What do you think they're waiting for? They're waiting to get there. They're in a car. They're waiting to get somewhere. Waiting in a car is kind of a hard thing to do because there's nothing to do in a car. Okay, next one. What about this one? They're probably waiting to going on a vacation or going to a trip. Anyone know where this is at? Disney World. It's kind of hard to wait to go to Disney World, isn't it? It takes a long time, more than 10 hours. It takes a long time. That's it. So we are in this season now. We're actually waiting for something right now. What are we waiting for right now?
Christmas.
Christmas. We're waiting for Christmas. So what are we waiting for? What's going to happen at Christmas time? What are we waiting for? Who? Santa's going to come. What else is going to happen? Jesus' birthday. That's right. And we have presents too, but they're not as important as Jesus coming. So we're waiting for Jesus' birthday. It's really, really hard to wait. Because we know that with Jesus' birthday, we get lots of family together. We get lots of presents too, you're right. But they're not as important as Jesus. Jesus coming is most important. So we're waiting for Jesus' birthday because God promised to send a Savior. And he will come on Christmas Day. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, thank you for keeping your promises. Jesus is worth waiting for. Help us to trust in you and to await you with hope and joy. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's text. Paul is concerned for the people of Thessalonica, and in order to really kind of understand the context of what's going on here, the people of Thessalonica kind of got a very abbreviated church plant, all right? Well, what happened was that Paul was going from place to place, and as he was known to do, he would go to wherever the Jewish people were meeting. He would begin with the Jews. He would start in the synagogue, if there was one, down by the river, if there wasn't, wherever God's people came together to worship, he would show up. And then he would begin to explain to them from the Old Testament who this Jesus was and why he came and what God's promise was through this Jesus who is the Messiah, the one who is promised to rescue his people from their bondage. And he did this in Thessalonica too. He showed up at the synagogue and he began to preach, he began to teach, he began to persuade, and many were persuaded. Many of the Jewish people understood the message of Paul and how the Old Testament was pointing forward to that one that was going to come to free his children, not from some earthly bondage, but from bondage to sin and death, and given a freedom that would bring them to heaven. And they understood, they were persuaded, they believed, and it was beautiful. But there were others. There were others who, the Bible says, were jealous. Now, exactly why they were jealous, I don't know. It's because Paul was like the new shiny object in town and everybody talked about him and went to him for answers and not to them or whatever. I don't know exactly what the deal was, but they were jealous and it caused them to act badly. So they went to the marketplace and they found people of ill repute and they ginned up a mob. And they went looking for Paul, and they went to the place where Paul was staying in the house of Jason, believe it or not. And they went to the house of Jason, and they didn't find Paul there, but instead they grabbed Jason and a bunch of the other people who were now believers in Jesus, and they took him to the city officials, and they said, people have come to cause problems. They're saying that there's another king other than Caesar. They're breaking Caesar's laws. They're doing all these things wrong, and you guys have to do something about it. And they made the believers in Jason post bond and wait for a trial. And the next day, the believers whisked Paul out of town. They said, you need to get out of here. Things are going to be bad here. Let us settle all this stuff down. You go do your thing somewhere else. So here's the deal. Paul was only there for about 3 weeks. Now, I don't know if you've ever been part of a church plant, but can you imagine walking into a town that has never heard about Jesus and starting a church in 3 weeks? That's a little intense. That's a very short time frame. And Paul was very concerned about the Thessalonican church. He was very, very worried about them because he knew that their faith was so thin, that their understanding of God's word was so new and so little, and so there just wasn't a lot to hang on right there. And so he sent Timothy to check on the church because he was so tied up with all these other places and Paul's life was chaotic and crazy. He was always responding to the next thing that comes down the pike. And so he was not able to get back to Thessalonica, but he sent Timothy. And Timothy brought back incredible news that the church in Thessalonica was doing well, that the people were clinging to Jesus and holding on to their faith, that they were praying, that they were meeting together, that they were in God's word and discovering all of the promises that God had placed in the Old Testament, so that they knew who they were in Jesus. They knew that they were rescued, they knew they were redeemed, and they knew that they had a God who was with them and loved them right now. It was an amazing thing. And Paul writes this letter of Thessalonians. Wow. He writes this letter of Thessalonians to this church, and he is just rejoicing. He is so excited and so happy. And so with that in mind, let me read this text again, just so you kind of have it fresh in your brain. It says, How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Does that make a little more sense now? And here's where we can go from this. There's a bunch of different ways to preach this text. Okay? I'm going to give you a little doorway into sermon prep. I mean, whenever you look at a text, you understand what is going on in the text, and the next thing you want to do is figure out what point of view do you want to preach it from, right? Because here's what I could do. If I were preaching this text in chapel at seminary, do you know how I would preach it? Look at Paul. Look at his love for his people. Look at how he loves them, how he prays for them, how he yearns for them to have a closer relationship with God. This is the heart that Jesus wants you to have for them, and the heart that Jesus has for you, so that you can pass this heart to them, right? Okay, and then if we're looking at it from a church perspective, we're looking at it as this is what God's heart is for you. That he loves you and that he yearns and looks forward to the day when you will be in his presence, right? That God, and understand this. You know, I think a lot of times we think about end times and we just think about our perspective in this and saying, isn't it going to be nice when all of the sinful stuff is gone? Isn't it going to be nice when we no longer have disease, we no longer have death, we no longer have discord, fights, storms, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, all this stuff, right? When all of that is history, won't it be nice that all that is gone and instead of that stuff, we have the presence of God and we get to live with him forever in a perfect relationship with our Creator, in a perfect relationship with the people around us, in a perfect relationship with the world that we inhabit? Won't that be nice? But wait, there's another perspective on this whole thing. What does God think of the end time? What is he thinking? You know, he's yearning for it every bit as much as we are. Because right now he is separated from the people that he created and the people that he loved. That he wants to be with you. You are the heart, the desire of his heart, that he wants you in his presence. He wants to be able to relate to you in the perfect way that he intended at the beginning at creation. He wants you to love him and him to be able to show his love for you immediately, without anything in between, that he would be able to be with us face to face. And isn't that an amazing image of this God that we understand his desire, not just our own? That it's not just, oh man, I wish all this stuff would be gone, but that our God loves us and wants us to be in his presence. Crazy, right? Well, here's another thing that I got to tell you. It's this. The reason pastors do the job we do most of the time it's not for the big money. All right. Most of the time, it's because this we have this message from God that is truly burning a hole in us, that we just can't keep it to ourselves, and we have to get it out. And we've got these people that God gives us, these people, and doggone it, you like these people. I mean, after you get to know them, they're just amazing, and you want these people to be stronger in their faith because you love them and you want what's best for them and you want them to be prepared. This whole Advent season is all about being ready for the one who is coming, right? And is it just the one who is coming the first time, remembering his first coming? Well, no, it's also that we're preparing for his second coming, that we are being prepared for the coming of Jesus when he comes again, this time with all his glory and with the angels and rending the heavens. And I mean, this is, we're anticipating this when we're preparing our hearts for this incredible thing that is coming. And as we anticipate, we as pastors look at our sheep, our people, and we think, how can I prepare them? How can I make them ready? You know, ready for this world, ready for the obstacles and the tribulations and the difficulties that we're definitely going to be facing in this world, and the even more intense tribulations that could come. And how can I have them to be ready? Because at all times, I don't want them to trip in their faith and then not be ready when Jesus comes. You know what I'm saying? And this is what drives pastors, is that we're like going, the people, are they ready? Are they as ready as they can be? And here's what we find out. Just like Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, he's saying, I wish I could be with you face to face so that I could fill in some of the gaps in your faith. You know, because, I mean, are we ever there? Are we ever like arrived? Are we ever like, we're totally ready? Have you ever felt that way in a test? I haven't. You know what I mean? It's like I study and study and study and study and study, and sometimes even overstudy, but I'm still worried that they're going to ask something that I didn't study. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so do you ever know for sure that you're completely ready? And the question is, well, ready for what? You know? I mean, am I ready for life as it is? I guess. But what's going to happen next year? Look at the news last year. I mean, how fast can things change? And is your faith ready for whatever is coming? And my thing is that my work as a pastor is to say, I'm going to do everything I can to help my people be ready. Right? You guys are also shepherds. Do you understand this? You're not only going to be able to look at this passage from the point of view as the one receiving ministry. You're also somebody who ministers. And the question is, you don't have a church that you oversee and that you work in, but you have families, and you have friends. You have communities and circles of people that you have contact with and that God calls you to serve, to love and to care for. And not just to love in any way, but to love especially by sharing this message of salvation. This is a major part of what it means to be a Christian, that each and every single one of us is a gospel bearer, that we have the gospel stamped on us, and that stamping changes us so that when we go out in the world, we can't help but overflow with that gospel into people in our lives. And that word that God put in us would leak out all over the place, and that we would do what we can to prepare the people that God has given us to love to be prepared for the day when he comes again. I mean, seriously, parents, can you wish anything greater for your child than that? I mean, we worry about so many things as we raise our children, right? We worry that they're going to be disciplined enough to even clean their room, say nothing of feed themselves one day. It doesn't get better when they're older, trust me. We worry that our children are going to be prepared to actually hold a job one day, right? We worry that our children are going to, that the world is not going to turn upside down, that even if they do everything right heading into the world changes so much that are they going to be ready for whatever comes? We worry about all these things because we love our children and we want what's best for them. But most, we don't want to fall into the trap of worrying so much about the thing, getting them ready for this life, that we forget to get them ready for eternity. I mean, if I could wish one thing for my children, it would not be that they have an easy life here, but that they would be in God's presence forever in heaven. That seems so logical, right? But somehow we can slip in this so much that we forget, and pretty soon we're putting all kinds of things before God, before church, we don't actually focus our time and attention and intentionally develop our children in the faith. But it's not just our children, because are those people that God has given us to love? Well, yeah, but who else? How about a spouse? Brothers, sisters? How about friends? How about people who come to us for advice because we somehow exude some sort of wisdom? I don't know how that works all the time, but there it is. And the thing is when we have the ability to influence people, do we only influence people in worldly ways? Or do we influence them in faith as well? Because we also are shepherds. God has given us people to love and to encourage and to help. And if this isn't preparing for Jesus' second coming, I don't know what it is, because this is not just preparing ourselves, but carrying out the ministry of God. Because Jesus came to prepare us. He came the first time to prepare us for coming the second time. So that when he comes again with all his power and glory, don't be misled. You will not think it's cool right away. All right? Bible's very clear about it. You're going to be scared. I mean, it's going to be intense. It's going to be nuts. You're going to wonder what's going on. And at some point, you're going to remember, oh, wait, I know what this is. And then you'll be okay, but it's going to be scary. But are you going to be ready? And not just you, but are you doing everything you can to help the people that you love be ready? Because when he comes again, it's going to be the judgment day. You know, and that's glorious for those who are saved and absolutely horrifying for the people who are not. That's the day when there is no middle ground. There will be those who in faith have received the forgiveness that comes by the blood of the Lamb. And there are those who will be caught in unbelief, who, although Jesus did die for them and their sins have been forgiven, they rejected the forgiveness. And so my thing is today is this. I'm not trying to make everybody afraid. What I'm trying to do is say, we got to get the let out. We got to stop putting it off. We got to stop thinking that there's always going to be more time. We got to stop acting like this isn't that big of a deal, this isn't important. One of the most important things we learn as we become disciplined in life, at least that's what I hear, is that you do the most important things first, right? Because if you don't do the most important things first, they might never happen. Well, how important is this? And where do we want to put it on our list of priorities? That we would look at this text and take it both ways. Are we people who receive grace and receive love and receive the care from others? Are we? Are we people who are the givers and deliverers of grace and forgiveness and this incredible message of salvation, and that it is our job also to be encouragers and to be busy developing faith in others. And so as we are in this Advent season, this is the place I want us to be sitting, where we will go to this God who is just absolutely amazing. This God, the Word of God, through whom all things were made and through nothing has been made that has not been made through him, that God became flesh and lived among us. And that he, the Word of God, came and gave us the Word of God in Scripture. And through that Word of God, he brings faith into the hearts of us. That God who is with us all the time, that God is always a prayer away, that God who is telling you, you have not because you ask not, talk to me. That God who loves you so deeply and so strongly, that God loves you, forgives you, brings you to himself, gives you great big hugs and doesn't want to let you go. This God clings to you even more than you think you can cling to him. This God loves all those other people around you just as much. And he sends you to talk to them. He sends you to carry the message, to encourage them in their faith, to help them when they're feeling weak, to pray for them. One of the most important things Paul did in this whole text was he prayed for his people. He said, I can't be there. I want to be there. May God open up a way that I can come, but I pray for you. And he didn't just promise to pray. He prayed for them right in the letter. I pray that God would nourish your faith. He would grow you. He would make you strong, firm, and steadfast so that your faith will be strong until I come again. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God, an incredible God, a God beyond anything we could ask for or imagine, Lord. And we thank you that you have provided for us everything we need for our body, Lord, but most for our soul. Help us, Lord, to love others with this same heart. Help us to generously, Lord, even if it costs us, that we would boldly speak your love, your word, your gospel, your grace, so that other people can believe. Help us, Lord, to encourage each other daily, Lord, as long as it is called today, that we will encourage each other as we watch the day approach. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
To thy throne.
please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated at this time. I would like to call Jesse forward at this time. I don't know if you know this guy. He's kind of special to me. This is my son, Jesse, and there's a big event about to happen in his life. He is halfway through his seminary training, well, roughly, and basically the way seminary training works is you go to get your undergrad degree, and then after you have your first 4 years of college, you go to seminary. He's done 2 years of seminary, and now it's time for his vicarage, which is his internship. It's when he gets to go out and practice. Then he'll come back and do one more year of seminary, and then they'll ordain him and send him to a church. His vicarage is going to be in Romania. He, because of God's planning for his life that he didn't understand at the time, he learned Russian in college. And he's going to be able to do ministry to war refugees from Ukraine, especially the city of Odessa, that have been resettled in Romania. And so he's going to go there, and he's going to be able to, well, in varying abilities, he will be able to minister to them in Russian, probably better at the end of his time than the beginning. He's going to be leaving tomorrow morning. So please pray for my wife. She's going to be a mess. She is super mom, and it's going to be hard. But nevertheless, let's pray for this guy, all right? But before we pray, let me read this. This is coming out of Timothy. Timothy is a great book for this kind of thing because it is basically Paul, this old crusty gray pastor, talking to the young pastor and giving him some advice, all right? And this is coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, going into 4. And it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you heard it, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say to them what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." That's his job. Now, here's your job. Mom, are you going to pray for him? You know why? Because he's family, right? Grandparents, are you going to be praying for him? Because they're family. Aunt, are you going to be praying for him? Here's the thing. That's not his only family here. Y'all are his family. We have one God and Father and one brother, Jesus Christ, who brought us into this family. And so we all are going to have to pray for this kid because he's going to be doing something hard. He's going to be learning to do ministry, which, trust me, is hard enough, in another language, in a country that speaks yet a third language that he does not know. So let's pray for him, eh? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesse and the incredible gifts and abilities you have given him and the call that you've placed on him to bear your word, to carry your gospel, Lord, into this world. Lord, I pray that you would be with him, Lord. Lord, you've told us so many times that you don't call the prepared, but you prepare the called. And Lord, I pray that you would give him everything he needs to carry out this ministry, Lord, that he would have confidence as he goes forward, not in himself or what he brings, but confidence in the Spirit that lives within him that will give him words to say in every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you would bless him in every way. Help him, Lord, to bear the burdens of ministry, Lord, to do it with grace, Lord, to do it uncomplaining. And Lord, that you would bless many people through his work. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Jesse. I'm a little choked up. Anyway, all right, folks. Guys, let's stand up as we pray today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all these blessings you have given us, Lord, for the families and the people and the opportunities to serve you, Lord, the people that you have given us to love. Lord, I pray that you would help us to go with courage and with conviction and with confidence, Lord, once again, trusting in your words that you promised to give us in the right time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help every single family in our congregation grow in faith and knowledge of you, that the children would be taught by the parents and the parents would be encouraged and taught by the church, Lord, that we would continue to strive toward following you, Lord, in every way and in all things. Lord, I pray that you would be with your people, Lord, as we go through difficult times, Lord, those who are struggling, those who are having financial issues, relationship issues, and Lord, those who are having health issues, Lord, that you would be our strength, that we would be able to remember, help us, Lord, remind us, Lord, that you are with us in even the hardest times so that we never need to feel alone. But we know, Lord, that we are loved and that you have promised to be with us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us as we love these people. Give us words. And Lord, we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe.
Once again, our God has made himself present here for us, on our behalf, to bless us and to give us strength, to deliver to us once again the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need. Just in case you didn't get it the first half a dozen times that we talked about forgiveness in this service, he's giving it to you one more time to help get it in your thick head. You're forgiven. You got it? All right. That's okay. We're going to do it another dozen times next week. But that's just how God is. He not only does he make sure that he worked the whole forgiveness for us, that our sins are completely wiped away, but he drives it home in different ways throughout his ministry so that we are not able to miss the message that we are forgiven. And having received this incredible gift, this forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in his body and blood, may this continue to keep you steadfast in your faith until he comes again. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
spread the news of Emmanuel. Joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your heads, for your King has come. Sing for the light overwhelmed the dark. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive, let the gospel ring. God has made a way, He will have the place. Tell the world His name is Jesus. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive, let the gospel ring. God has made a way, He will have the place. Tell the world His name is Jesus.
Few announcements. First of all, I want to release the kiddos. If anybody heading off to Sunday school, if you guys want to run now, you can meet Lauren in the back and she will take you to where you need to go. The rest of you, let's see here. First of all, oh, yes. This is on behalf of the children. The Advent devotion or the Advent calendars are in the back. Where are they? Yeah, they're in the back somewhere. You'll see them. They're big. All right, and then there's also the Advent devotions for all you older folks that read big things. All right, and you guys can get these things in the back. They're all printed up for you. I do encourage you to use them. It is wonderful. It's great preparation as we prepare for the coming of Jesus, both the first time and the second time. We also want to have a special birthday wish to Stan Schwing, who turns 91 on December 6th. So, not with us this morning, but yeah, he's pretty cool. All right, and then Angel Tree, the tree out here with the decorations with Christmas wishes for some people on them. Please take more if you can. We have lots of need this year. It's a hard year for people. But we need the gifts back by Thursday, December 5th, okay? All right, so take a bunch, go shopping, bring them back. It'll be great. All right, and the last thing is this. I want to make sure we all know that there is a voters meeting coming up December 15th. We are going to be electing members of the board of directors, and we are going to be hopefully voting on a constitutional amendment for our church. Basically, it's in regard to the position of treasurer. In order that we can have a treasurer at a church this big with a school this big is a very specialized function. And once you get good at it and actually understand the budget, it's really good to keep a person in as long as they're willing. They work with a board of finance, so they're not operating on their own. And what we're talking about doing is taking away the Right now, there's a 6-year term limit on board members, and the treasurer has just been lumped in with the rest of the board members. What we're trying to do is separate the treasurer from those term limits so that they can have longer term, also so that we can have long-term plans for finances at church, that we can put money away every year for a roof, and that kind of a plan doesn't get lost because of the shifting of treasurers and such. So there's a lot of reasons for it, but we're talking about basically taking her. She would be a non-voting member of the board, and that she would work under the supervision of the trust of the board of finance as well. So if you need all the rest of the details, we have it all printed up in the back. Please look at it, read it, mull it over, so that on the 15th. We can have our vote and be done. Cool? All right, with that, happy Advent to all of you, and I'll see you guys in the back.